by creating these ovals, we've actually created a specialist sort of type of habitat, and there's particular species of birds that love those places, you know. And I regularly drive around Broome just checking the ovals out just in case
there's a rare bird. Well, you got lucky very recently in Broome. What did you see and where?
It was a thing called a red-throated pipit, and pipits are an interesting group. I mean, they're the archetypal little brown job with streaks and spots, and they're a difficult group. Luckily in Australia we only normally have one species, so it makes it very easy. If however you go to Africa or something like that, it's an identification nightmare, because there's so many different species and they all look alike. So luckily in Australia we only have one species, so when we see a different sort of pipit here, they're obviously usually migrants. They've come from Asia, and it's going to be, you know, they're still similar looking to an Australian pipit, but, you know, subtly different. But then you have the problem of actually working out which one it is. And it's just interesting side of birding.
And now this red-throated pipit, where does it normally live?
Well, it's rather like all the shorebirds we get here. It lives up in the tundra. Well, that's where it breeds, but it's only there for a very short period of time. And then they migrate down into Southeast Asia. So this bird's presumably, it's overshot. But, yeah, what's interesting is those ovals that we've been talking about and other parts of Broome, we get large numbers of another migrant, strong migrant, that also breeds up in Asia, a thing called a yellow wagtail. Now, they come, we get lots of yellow wagtails here. We get higher numbers of yellow wagtails around Broome than anywhere else in Australia. Now, my theory is that this pipit's actually got, because they're similar families, pipits and wagtails are similar families, that they congregate and they flock. And I think what's happened is that this pipit's actually, it's got caught up in a flock of wagtails
and spat out on a football oval in Broome.
That's right.
Was it wearing a pair of ruby red shoes?
Well, this is the difficult thing, is that it's such a typical little brown bird that it's, in breeding plumage, they do have a red throat. They're magnificent. The male red-throated pipit is a fabulous looking bird, but he's in breeding plumage. A stunning little thing. But of course, when they're in non-breeding, they're much harder to identify. Now, this bird, I suspect, is a young bird, so it's what we call a first winter bird. So it's hatched up in the Arctic, fledged and then flown south, and so it's in its first winter, if you understand. So
yes.
It's not a juvenile, it's an immature bird, but it's in its first year of life.
It's going on a gap year holiday.
Absolutely, that's the one. going off with the lads and, you know.
Yes, exploring, backpacking around Australia and having a right old time. George Swan is my guest in the studio this morning. He's a bird watcher and he's been right throughout the Pilbara and the Kimberley. 1-300-242-675 if you'd like to have a word with George this morning about a bird you've seen and you don't know what it is, or maybe you know what it is and it's a bit special and you want to tell us about it. 1-300-242-675. You can also send an SMS, 1992260. Another unusual bird has been inhabiting some islands recently, George, and it's got the great name of Island Monarch, and I've got in my mind some sort of rather old-fashioned king reclining under a bed of palm fronds on the islands. What is this bird, the Island Monarch?
Isn't it a wonderful name? This goes back to what you were saying earlier about asking people ringing in and saying, oh, look, we've seen this or that or something a bit different. I mean, this is what it's all about. And it's fascinating when you hear about strange things that people have seen. And this is a classic case. This was in October last year. And I've only just heard about it, but it's a great story. And it goes on a bit, but the Island Monarch is a species that really is a classic wanderer, and they inhabit islands. They're a type of flycatcher, quite beautifully coloured with sort of orange breast and a grey, orange sort of belly and a grey breast. Spectacular looking bird. But they're island specialists, so they actually move around and colonise islands, and they're sort of, they're probably the true pioneers. So I mean, imagine if you imagine some of these islands in the Indonesian archipelago, are formed, a lot of them, by volcanoes and things like that, and then they become colonised by plants and everything else. Probably the first birds to colonise that island are island monarchs.
Do you think that's why they've got their name, the monarch? You know, they're a bit like the British Empire, putting a flag on the nearest island.
Well, I mean, it's a good
analogy. I like the analogy.
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
We'll roll with that one.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure the origins of the name monarch, but it's just they're a group of flycatchers, and usually quite colourful group of flycatchers. They're an interesting group. But what's fascinating about this is a pair have been recorded on a place called Cassini Island, which is about 30 kilometres north of Cape Voltaire. So it's sort of like due north of the Mitchell Plateau. And it's one of the islands that's well out. It's one of the further islands out on the Kimberley coast. And, this thing was... a pair of them were discovered there on this island. And and who knows? They may be colonists. They may be, setting up home. So it's basically a new species that's quite possibly colonising Australia. I mean, it's a really interesting concept, and from a birdwatch perspective, it's fascinating. Going on from there, I've been lucky enough to run trips to a place called Ashmore Reef, and I've been doing that for about 10 years now. And we actually discovered island monarchs on Ashmore in 2005, and we've had quite a few records of almost every time we've been there since that time, we've seen island monarchs. Sometimes just one individual, other times two individuals, and the last time we were there we had three birds, and it's fascinating. I mean, they could quite possibly colonise Ashmore.
Jocelyn from Wyndham telephoned in to say that she had a different bird in her backyard recently. It caught her eye. It was a black topknot pigeon. And she took some photographs of it and sent it to the WA Museum. And they said it was a mutation and it was unusual. You've got a couple of points to make on this topknot pigeon that's coloured black. What are they, George?
This is always a bit of a problem because a lot of people... if they see a pigeon with a crest, it's quite common for people just to call them topknots. This is the problem with common names. The topknot pigeon that I know is actually a rainforest species that occurs on the east coast and also up in New Guinea, and it really does have a great big blob on the top of its head.
Like a headdress, isn't it?
It's not like a crest at all. It's just a lump.
The topknot pigeon here in the northern part of WA, I would call it the spinifex pigeon. That's probably what I would think any pigeon with a little on the top of its head. What do you think this topknot pigeon might be?
I mean, spinifex pigeons and topknot pigeons both have a very long crest. Spinifex pigeons are sort of browny, sort of rufousy colour, and they're smaller than crested pigeons. Crested pigeons are much more common. They're much more widespread than spinifex pigeons. Spinifex pigeons are more restricted to really rocky country. I mean, they're common, but they like really rocky spinifexy sort of country. Whereas crested pigeons can be found just about everywhere. And it depends on... But obviously this lady's spotted a melanistic form, which happens in nature, where you do get birds that are completely black, and sometimes they're completely white, or they have bits of both. I mean, you can't...
You can get these genetic quirks in a pretty common bird, a pigeon, looking very unusual.
Absolutely. I mean, you can get aberrant plumage in just about any bird. But also, you can you can find birds that hybridize, you know, and then you get a true hybrid, and then they might have plumage characteristics of one species or the other, which it's pretty complicated.
Are they
as well.
Classified as a new bird then, when you've got a combo, and they might have children to have other combos?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. I mean, there was a. If you start to look at these things, it's fascinating. I mean, there's a species in Australia called a Cox's sandpiper, which is a migratory shorebird, and people used to talk about Cox's sandpipers, and they were seen regularly down in Victoria, and then it was eventually established that actually they weren't a full species. They were actually a hybrid between a thing called a curlew sandpiper and a pectoral sandpiper, and they're actually true hybrids. The progeny were flying, migrating, as migratory shorebirds do, flying down to Victoria and were wandering around in the sewage farms or mud flats or whatever, and people going, God, what's this? And as it turns out, and the guy who originally discovered these things was a bloke called John Cox from South Australia, and he obviously very eminent ornithologist, and these things were actually, he described them and wrote a paper about them, and they were eventually named after him. But then eventually they sort of, everyone sort of put their heads together and thought, oh, hang on a minute, you know. So it's actually a true hybrid.
Incredible stuff, what's going on out there.
Absolutely.
And back to our rare birds with the red-throated pipit. You've actually got to compile quite a detailed dossier to submit this to the bird authorities, as it were, to get kind of the tick of the sighting, don't you?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, this gentleman that discovered the Isle of Monarch on Cassini Island, I mean, he I can't believe this. He was actually obviously doing some museum work, I think they were. And he can't have been a bird watcher because he was on the island and he did not have binoculars with him. I would have gone nuts if I'd seen this thing without binoculars. But he had a digital camera and he got photographs of it. And, of course, there's absolutely no question. I mean, if he had said, oh, I've seen an Isle of Monarch on Cassini Island, and everyone would have gone, oh yeah, where are the photographs? And it would have been thrown out, basically. I mean, he could have described the bird and written a detailed description, but it's a lengthy process, and you've got to go through all those. You've got to prove to the committee, the Birds Australia Rarities Committee. You've got to prove to them that it wasn't another species. So you've got to discount all those other species that are very similar. So it's a lot of you have to write that up. And if you've got photographs to back it up, all the best. If you don't, it's even harder.